All right, so Bill Searcy, offensive lineman of the 70s, one of the greatest decades in Alabama football. He never lost to Auburn, never lost to Tennessee. We're talking to Bill Searcy, former player at the University of Alabama. Bill, it's good to talk to you, man. Thanks so much for being a part of our show tonight.
Absolutely. I appreciate y'all having me on, and been an exciting year so far. We still got a lot left, though.
Bill, coming off of that loss against Texas A&M, what was your thoughts as you analyzed that performance on Saturday night?
Honestly, and I thought of this today, Ryan, that, you know, Coach Bryant used to have this saying, and he would say that you don't know what kind of mule you got till you load the wagon. And, you know, I think the wagon was loaded Saturday night, Saturday afternoon. And, I mean, my senior year, if you'll remember, you're too young to remember, but we had a undefeated season rolling, had won a national championship the year before, and much like these guys this year, and we went down to Mississippi State and lost a game that we weren't supposed to lose, 6-3. And I remember, you know, how that felt, and I'm sure these guys are the same way. You know, it's disappointing, but on that particular day, Texas A&M was just a better team at that day. I think Johnny Manziel, you know, was better than the fans realized. I don't think he was better than the coaches and the players realized. I think they knew how good he was. But, you know, we did some things wrong in the first quarter, got started slow, and what can you say? You know, we just we dropped a game, but it's not the end of the season by any means, and we're at least still playing for the conference championship, and there's a lot of teams in the conference who would like to be saying that right now.
Well, listen, you guys won SEC championships in the era that you were here, and what a great era of that college football. You were talking about Coach Bryant, and at some point we're going to play a clip for you. As soon as Alan nods his head and gives me permission to play it, you were talking about losing. I've got a great audio clip from Coach Bryant. Bill, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that a lot, you know, and that was what he would tell us, was that, you know, we're all going to make mistakes, but the next week of practice, that's what you're trying to do is correct what you've made mistakes for the week before and lost the game. Coach Saban and the team are doing that now. They're trying to correct those mistakes and make sure they don't duplicate those mistakes. And obviously the team who makes the least mistakes wins the game. So, I mean, you know, that's what Coach Bryant was always about. And he always took, as he just said, he always took it on himself. When we lost, he always would say that he didn't do his job, which also was a secret password for there was going to be a hard week of practice the next week. But, you know, that's just the way it is, and that's all they can do is try to make less mistakes next week as they did this week, even though it's against an opponent, you know, not so strong. But still, it's an important game.
Going back to those days, and I know you'll really have to spend some time thinking because you guys didn't lose very many games. What was it like? I mean, when you coming off of a loss, I understand that Coach Bryant took credit for you, but how hard was it for a player to get refocused and understand that, you know what, one game does not define us as a football team? There's still goals on the table that you can win an SEC championship, and it's not out of the possibilities to play again and have a chance to play for a national title. Greater things have happened.
Well, I mean, you know, in our era and now also, I mean, we were trained to win. But we were also taught that you have to have a plan for everything that happens. And so we were trained to win and be gracious winners, I hope. And I think, you know, and show humility and always pat your opponent on the back and compliment your opponent. And also, when we lost, we were supposed to do the same thing, and to get refocused. Of course, you know, you just have to have a businessman like attitude, and that's what we would do. I mean, Coach Bryant would not rant and rave. You know, he would make whatever comments he would make, and then it was, you know, surprisingly, usually we just went back to work. I mean, it was just, whether we won or lost, we pretty much practiced the same. We didn't change anything. We might do a few different things to correct mistakes, but these guys have just got to put the loss behind them. And Coach Bryant used to also say that the great thing about football is that you know, let's say there's 60 plays in a game or whatever it is, 70 plays, you're going to make some mistakes, but you have another play coming up to correct the mistake or to do something better. And so we've got another game coming up and to correct what we did last week and to finish out this season strong. So, you know, that's the great thing about it is we've got another chance.
Bill, you had a great college career, but talk about what loss that you can compare this one to. I'm sure when this happened, you probably thought, you know what, that kind of reminds me when this happened to one of the teams I was on. What was that loss for you?
It would most compare to the game I mentioned before. My senior year was 1980, and we were coming off a national championship of 79 and had a chance to win our third championship in a row. And we went down to Mississippi State and lost the state 6-3 in a game where, much like they did last week, we
had a chance to win it, right? I mean, at the end of the game?
Yeah, we did. We had a chance to win. We were going in for the score. Handoff to Billy Jackson coming off the right side, right behind me. And I, if I remember correctly, I think I was blocking a linebacker on the play. And I hit the linebacker, and I could hear the crowd roar, and I thought we had scored. And then I realized that the roar was actually their fans. We had fumbled going in for the winning score, and they recovered and ran the clock out. So very much like last week's loss, in that we had a loss, but we still had a chance to play for the national championship. We weren't out of it yet, and then we lost. Then we ended up losing a second game to Notre Dame in Birmingham, and we lost that game 7-0. Notre Dame crossed the 50-yard line one time that night, and they scored the one time they crossed the 50. Once again, we're in the same position, though, after the first loss. Had one loss for the season. We were still on the road, still had a chance to win the championship, and we didn't. Is it disappointing? Absolutely disappointing. But you still got to play. The fans still expect you to play. They still expect you to win, and that's what these guys have to realize.
Back in 1980, you're talking about the Mississippi State game that was played down in Jackson. You countered the next week. You were able to knock out LSU 28-7. So no doubt at some point Coach Bryant got your attention. Let's talk about what's so special about being in this Auburn-Alabama game. Not so much this year. We're talking about a team that's 2-8. That's just, they've quit on their football team. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. You may see it a different way, but it seems like right now their players have quit on Gene Chizik, and at some point we expect the news to come down from the top that he's been let go.
Yeah, I heard, I didn't hear it, but I heard on the radio today that Coach Chizik was already talking about him, that he was making plans for next year. That's interesting. I don't think he's gonna have a next year at Auburn. I think his players have quit on him. However, it's still Auburn. It's still Auburn, Alabama. And I will, you know, as bad as that year they've had, I still expect them to play their best game of the year against us. I mean, it's still important to us as Alabama people and Alabama players and fans that we beat Auburn, and, you know, we beat them convincingly, not only because it's our tradition, but because it's the next game in a series, in our series of games, and it's before the conference championship. So,
well, it gets us there, too.
Excuse me?
I said it gets us to the conference championship game.
Exactly. And if we don't, you know, then the season really has turned into something not so good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that we don't go into the Auburn game just expecting to win. But I couldn't imagine that happening. Especially not with Coach Saban, you know, at the reins.
Bill Searcy, an offensive lineman in the 70s, a great decade of Alabama football, had a chance to call himself national champion twice in his playing days, three times an SEC championship. He never lost to Auburn or Tennessee. We're talking with Bill Searcy. Bill, I know we'd love to get you on before the end of the season, but can you talk about the versatility? Because you were known as a guy that played multiple positions on the offensive line. I always look at Barry Jones, and there's people that are critiquing you know, getting this week with the nose tackle lined up straight up. Like, they moved the tackle into the nose guard position, and that was a tackle going up against Barrett Jones. But what he's been able to do, left guard, left tackle, center, can you talk about that, what that means, and analyze his play so far?
Well, I mean, first off, you know, he playing center is an extremely difficult position, and it's very, very different than the other offensive line positions. Obviously, usually the center is the quarterback of the offensive line, so he has to understand defenses and defense alignment and understand blocking schemes so that he can call those blocking schemes for the rest of his line. And you know, that's what he's doing this year. But he's played, like you said, guard and tackle, and most importantly, left tackle, which is a very hard position to play, which is the highest paid offensive line position in the NFL, which is where he'll be. I don't know what position he'll play in the NFL, but obviously his worth goes up because he's a multiple position player. And he's a great player. And I mean, they took an All-American offensive left tackle and moved in the center. I mean, that says something to me, you know. It says that we've got depth not only behind him that's now playing left tackle, but it says something that they have a lot of confidence in Barrett Jones. And from what I understand, not only on the field, but off the field, he's just a quality guy, a winner. And I've never had the pleasure of meeting him, but everything I've heard is just excellent, and he's a great player.
Bill, can you talk about what's so important to you? You and I have talked about it so many times, and I know you and I wanted to talk about our faith, and we're limited with a little bit of time, but I wanted to give you to the end because you've got such a great testimony, and it's great to talk about our faith and certainly, you know, promote that. And if you ever have a chance to listen to Bill talk, and if he's speaking here in Tuscaloosa, you need to go see our friend Bill Searcy because he'll lay it all out of the line and really explains why grace is so important to him.
Well, thank you, Ryan. I appreciate the opportunity to speak of my faith and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And because of what I put myself through, I was homeless. I've lived on the street, and I've lived in a car and under bridges and all that. And by the grace of God, I mean, I'm not doing that anymore. And I like to share that story whenever I can. But I heard a good quote on Sunday. This said the worth of every man, or the worth of a man, is not judged by the amount of money he has, but how much he's willing to go through to become successful. And not successful as far as monetarily, but successful in life, which to me would mean a close relationship with Jesus, a close relationship with my family and friends, and just doing the right things. And so, you know, for anybody who's listening, who's going through a tough time, whether it's a major or something small, there is a way out. There is a way for things to get better. And there's only one way, and that's through Jesus. And that's for him to be your Savior. And whatever you're going through, he will pull you through. He has a plan. It's in his time, though. It's not in our time. And that's the way it is.
Do me a favor. When you're in Tuscaloosa, why don't you swing by and hang out with Mick and I? We'd love to get you in studio and talk some college football. And I know you explain it in a great way and someone that understands what it takes to win a national title. You won two of them.
Thank you.
Three SEC championships. You never lost to the Auburn Tigers. I can never say that enough. You never lost to the Tennessee Volunteers. Bill, look us up when you're in T-Town.
I'll do it, guys, and I'm going to plug my book that's coming out soon called High Tide. We'll talk about that, I hope, next time we're on the air.
Now, hold on a minute. I didn't know that we were supposed to talk about it. I'd love to have that opportunity. Let's talk about it, because you and I talked about that in the summer, that you were writing that book. When will that be released?
It's going to be in the spring. I can't tell you exactly when yet, but it'll be in the spring, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about it next time.
Let's do it, Bill. Thanks so much for being part of our show.
Thank you, guys.